The first Slobbert got here in 1667 and intermingled with some of the slaves.
Frederick van Zyl Slobbert was clear about his identity. Slobbert was an Afrikaans-speaking African of French, German and Dutch stock. He described himself as Afrikaans, as snoek and sweet potatoes.
Ek is so Afrikaans soos boerewors en stywe pap, maar
or as Afrikaans as boerewors and pap. But other Afrikaners feel differently and branded me a traitor.
Van Zyl Slobbert and his twin sister Marcia were born in Pretoria on the 2nd of March 1940. By the time they were two, their parents were divorced.
I spent most of my youth in hostels, and I really had no special Afrikaner upbringing.
The high school head boy, first team rugby and cricket captain, and first class matriculant wanted to be a Dutch Reformed Church minister. So he registered for a BA Classics degree at Wits University. A lunchtime lecture there by the late PAC leader Robert Sobukwe stirred Slobbert politically. He realized he knew absolutely nothing about black South Africans. He started questioning conventional white opinion. From 1960 onwards, Slobbert studied at Stellenbosch University. It offered classical Hebrew and had a good rugby reputation.
And then in my fifth year, I simply could no longer intellectually and morally accommodate the kind of theology that was being preached, and I walked out.
Van Zyl Slobbert obtained his BA honours and Masters in Sociology with distinction. Initially, Prime Minister H.F. Verwoerd's argument for racial separate development made sense to him.
I became more and more engrossed in developments in South Africa. I took a fairly strong view on the untenability of apartheid as an ideology, teaching courses which tried to show not only that separate development was based on false premises, but held a great danger for all of us in the country.
In the 1960s, Slobbert completed his doctorate and started a family. He married Mane Jordan and had two children, Tanya and Rico. After lecturing at Rhodes University and the University of Cape Town, he headed Wits University's sociology department as professor. A few months later, Van Zyl Slobbert accepted a Progressive Party nomination to contest the Cape Town constituency of Rondebosch in the 1974 general election. Slobbert never imagined that he'd win by 1,600 votes. For the first time in 13 years, the late opposition parliamentarian Helen Suzman had six new colleagues to help her.
I became, in the eyes of the English and the Afrikaners, a true blue Afrikaner. I failed all those criteria, but that didn't matter.
Van Zyl Slobbert shaped the Progressive Federal Party's ideology after it had merged with the Reform Party and the Committee for a United Opposition. In September 1979, Slobbert succeeded Colin Eglin as PFP leader and also became the leader of the official opposition. The media dubbed Slobbert Super Van, or the Great White Hope. B.J. Foster's National Party branded him and the PFP as useful idiots for communism. Slobbert's ultimate goal was a multiracially negotiated constitution for the country.
To emphasize that it is still possible in South Africa to come together and to negotiate a constitutional solution that all the population groups can really support.
In 1983, Slobbert opposed the Constitution Bill. It laid the foundation for P.W. Botha's controversial tricameral parliament for white, coloured and Asian people, but not for black South Africans.
No opposition worth its salt approves that 70% of the people of the country be excluded from participating in the constitution of that country, Mr. Speaker.
Within 10 months, between 1983 and 1984, Slobbert divorced his wife and married Jane Stevens of Swaziland. Politically and economically, Slobbert opposed international sanctions against South Africa in the mid-1980s.
It is inspired in some cases by very good sentiments and values in the sense that they want to get rid of racism and discrimination. In many other cases, it's inspired by a desire for vengeance, to punish South Africa, to make a moral statement. The question that is far more important is how can we have effective, fundamental, and lasting reform in South Africa. You have to work towards one citizenship for all people in South Africa. You have to get rid of all forms of statutory racial discrimination.
In mid-1985, the Progressive Federal Party opened its doors to all races.
This is a novel experience for us in South Africa, and I think we must go and test the water.
On the 12th of October 1985, Van Zyl Slobbert led the first ever political delegation of PFP members to meet the exiled ANC in Zambia.
Both sides share the urgent need to dismantle apartheid and to establish a united, non-racial, democratic South Africa.
A few months later, on the 7th of February 1986, Van Zyl Slabbert dropped a bombshell in Parliament.
I have decided the time has come for me to go.
After serving Parliament for almost 12 years, the incisive and charismatic opposition leader was frustrated and disillusioned. Slabbert believed that the legislature had become powerless and irrelevant. He also detested government's lies.
The government no longer can fool around with how it intends getting rid of apartheid. If it's serious about it, it must spell it out very clearly.
The PFP was livid at Slabbert's sudden resignation and that of Dr. Alex Berain a few days later. Together, they founded the Institute for a Democratic Alternative for South Africa to promote extra-parliamentary dialogue.
I phoned Mbeki in Lusaka and I said, how do I get in touch with the underground? He says, you don't. They will get in touch with you. And sure enough, they did.
Slabbert and Berain travelled the world begging for money. In New York, billionaire George Soros gave them about $75,000 for IDASA's conference between progressive Afrikaners and the exiled ANC in the Senegalese capital in July 1987. Slabbert and writer-cum-artist Breyten Breytenbach had conceived the idea while chatting under a baobab tree on Goree Island. The Dakar conference endorsed Slabbert's call for a negotiated solution in South Africa.
Ek dink dit het 'n bydrae gelewer om gesprek te legitimeer.
It helped to legitimize dialogue with the ANC and to change some of its preconceived ideas about Afrikaners.
Van Zyl Slabbert never believed that President F.W. de Klerk would actually pursue political negotiations following his 1990 sweeping reforms that freed Nelson Mandela.
There was one fatal misjudgment. He let the genie out of the bottle. He had totally miscalculated the impact that Mandela would have. And quite frankly, within a month, de Klerk had lost the initiative.
In the early to mid-1990s, Van Zyl Slabbert co-founded the Kula Black Investment Trust and the Goree Institute for Democracy, Development and Culture. He also started the Open Society Foundation and Initiative for Southern Africa. In 1993, Slabbert became embroiled in a controversy surrounding the new SABC board. De Klerk had unilaterally appointed him as chairperson after rejecting the preferred candidate of an independent panel of jurists, Professor Njabulo Ndebele.
If I continue under the current circumstances, I'll be seen to be the government's chairman. If the government concedes to the pressures from the ANC and the Campaign for Independent Broadcasting, and they still have me there, then I'll be seen to be their chairman.
Mandela's presidential inauguration was a defining moment.
That moment, for me, was the moment of transition, where the head of the SADF saluted the new president of South Africa, Mandela.
Madiba appointed Slabbert and Kehla Shubane to coordinate the first democratic municipal elections.
Jy het 'n ingewikkelde proses wat in 'n baie kort tydperk moet plaasvind.
It's a complicated process that must be achieved in a short period of time. But it's an exciting affair because we're creating local democracy.
In 1998, Slabbert was appointed as non-executive chairperson of the JSE-listed company AdCorp. The 560 million rand company owned about 30 small business enterprises. Slabbert was also on the boards of FirstRand, WoolTrue, Investec and Radio Spur. Between 1999 and 2000, he released one of his last books in both Afrikaans and English. His semi-autobiographical political analysis was called Tough Choices. He believed that the concept Afrikaner African was ideologically loaded with value judgment.
Maar jy sê, jy kan slegs Afrikaan wees as jy swart is.
Debate arises when one says only black people are Africans.
By the time Slabbert should have been thinking of retirement, he was still working hard to make a difference and to effect change. In the early to mid-2000s, he chaired a constitutional committee for a new electoral system. The annual Art Club Art Festival in Potchefstroom and a Stellenbosch University committee into alleged assaults at the Majuba male residence. He also served on a parliamentary committee that assessed the legislature's work since 1994. In mid-2008, Van Zyl Slabbert was elected as Chancellor of Stellenbosch University, but he unexpectedly resigned about 14 months later. His health seemed to be the main reason. By February this year, Slabbert had relinquished most of his public responsibilities, including that with the Caxton Publishing and Printing Company. Van Zyl Slabbert regarded himself as an extraordinarily privileged person. His advice to South Africans was to keep their politicians on their toes and never to let them pull the wool over their eyes. He once described the inevitability of death as another moment of moments and as crossing the big river. I'm Angie Kaplianus in Johannesburg.